Democracy Concepts presents the second of a two-part audio of In the Wings, part six of an eight-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwame Ray Ellis. Grandpa, I now realize that delivering development to the district is not beyond our reach. With visionary and committed leadership, we can get there sooner than we think. Exactly, my son. And that brings me to the second reason for the poor performance of our assemblies. Grandpa, you said earlier that the Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executive does not feel obligated to the people in the district. Yes, that is so. But let me start from the beginning. Our district assembly system appears very well structured. But in reality, the structure is ineffective. And why is that, Grandpa? Why do you say that the district assembly structure is ineffective? It is because real power in the district rests with the chief executive. Are you saying that our district assembly system doesn't work as it should because power is concentrated in the DCA? Exactly, and I will lead you to that conclusion. Okay, Grandpa, let's go. I believe you are aware that the assemblies are made up of 70% elected members and 30% appointees of the president. Yes, Grandpa. The president also effectively appoints the chief executive of the assembly. And I know also that the MPs from the districts are members. Now, many of the people elected to the district assemblies make very little contribution to the work of the assemblies. All they do is sit through the meetings, take some refreshment thereafter, and go back home. That's not surprising, Grandpa. Even in parliament, some members hardly speak in open assembly. So you see, the impact of many elected members on the assembly is minimal. Okay, Grandpa, but what about the appointed members of the assemblies? Yes, many of the appointed members are either accomplished, retired, or elderly persons in their communities. Persons of such caliber do not usually want trouble, so they steer clear of controversy. They therefore tend to keep quiet, allow the power brokers in the assembly to have their way. So you can see that their impact on the assembly will not be felt. Okay, Grandpa, but that leaves the district chief executive and the MPs who are members of the assembly. Yes, let's consider the MPs. You see, these MPs live and work in the capital, don't they? Yes, Grandpa, I wonder whether they are able to attend district assembly meetings. Of course, some do, though not regularly. But for those who do, there could be a pretext for attending. A pretext? Which pretext? They could be present at the assembly meeting to collect their share of the MP's common fund, which is paid through the district assembly. Oh, I see. And since they have no voting rights in the assembly, they might not be very motivated to make any serious contributions to the assembly. You are right, Grandpa. And there may be another reason for that. You know that there is a lingering animosity between DCEs and MPs. An MP may not want to spend any length of time in a meeting with a powerful enemy. I didn't think about that, but you are right. And that means that the contribution of MPs to the work of the district assemblies could be minimal. That leaves the DCE. Yes, real power in the district assembly resides in the district chief executive. He controls the budgets, and it determines which project will be carried out and which will not. Grandpa, are you sure that the same situation exists in the Metropolitan Assemblies? Well, the situation may not be wholly true in the Metropolitan Assemblies. I think in those assemblies, the representation is often better. But even there, the Metropolitan Chief Executive calls the shots. Okay, Grandpa, and I am beginning to suspect why that is so. Yes, I think it's because the DCE is an appointee of the president. Exactly, my son. The district chief executive is a political party person in a non-partisan assembly. Yes, Grandpa, and I believe he sees his allegiance as going more to the president. You hit the nail right on its head, my son. The district chief executive dances to the tune of the president. He owes his position to the president. Indeed, he may not feel any obligation towards the people he is supposed to serve, and in many cases may not give proper respect to them. Grandpa, that brings to mind the case of the chair DC. Do you remember that incident? Yes, I remember clearly. SADC who left an official ceremony abruptly just because somebody had said Tria while he was giving a speech. It became a national joke. In that particular case, if that DC had any respect for the people he was addressing, he would have behaved differently. As it turned out, he was the president's man, and he told everybody to go to hell. You are right, Grandpa. But I have a question. What is wrong if the district chief executive calls the shots in the district assembly? He needs to be in control, doesn't he? My son, an overwhelmingly powerful district chief executive would turn out to be a dictator, and that doesn't bode well for the assembly. Don't forget that the district chief executive is essentially a political party person. Are you thinking of political manipulation, Grandpa? Not only that, too much power breeds corruption and impunity and defeats the democratic principles envisaged in the district assembly system. And what's your solution, Grandpa? You always seem to have one. I think the power of the DC must be diffused to promote good governance and enhance performance. You want to diffuse the power of the DC? How, Grandpa? First, we should improve the capacity of the assembly members. That would improve the quality of debate during meetings of the assembly. Are you thinking of training for the assembly members? Not exactly that, my son. I am actually thinking of improving the caliber of persons who contest in the district assembly elections. Grandpa, some may consider that an insult. Are you saying that the current crop of assembly members is not good enough? No, my son, I am not insulting anybody. But a certain proverb says, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I'm just saying that we could improve what is on the ground. Okay, so how do you propose we improve the human resource capacity of the assemblies, Grandpa? To start with, I think the system should be made to attract as many of the best brains available as possible. Grandpa, you've said the same thing. Improving human resource capacity and attracting the best brains is the same thing. My question is, how do we do that? We must make the district assemblies the starting point for a career in parliament. Huh? Any person who aspires to be a member of parliament must be required to serve in the district assembly first. You made this point early on, Grandpa, but it was to reduce the politicization of parliament. But I think I know another reason why it is necessary. The district assembly elections have not been well patronized because the real focus has always been on parliament. Yes, my son, and that's because our people think that the development of their districts depend on their members of parliament. But that is very sad. If local development is the responsibility of the district assemblies, it would seem right to focus more on the district assembly elections rather than on elections to parliament. We are doing things upside down, Grandpa. I'm glad you are seeing my point, my son. Making the district assemblies the gateway to parliament will attract all aspiring members of parliament to the district assemblies. The focus will be in the right place, and we will be doing things the right way up. Yeah, Grandpa, that will surely improve the human resource base, as you said. Exactly, it will. But for me, one term in the assembly should not be a sufficient condition to qualify for parliament. A person must serve two consecutive terms before he or she qualifies to contest in the elections for parliament. Two terms, Grandpa. Why two terms? Two terms are necessary to ensure that those who gain entry into parliament truly understand the real needs of the people in the districts. It will also prevent a hit-and-run situation where an individual hates the assembly just to qualify for parliament without actually serving the people in the districts. I see. You want some seriousness attached to all this. And I guess you still maintain that such people should not be elected on the ticket of political parties. Of course, I want some seriousness in all this. The district assemblies need serious attention, my son. And yes, people should enter the district assemblies on their own merits, not on the ticket of political parties. So, Grandpa, do you think that one way of diffusing the power of the district chief executive is to improve the human resource capacity of the district assemblies? What else should be done? I think the district chief executive should be elected by the people. he should not be appointed by the president. Yes, I've heard that before, Grandpa. But people say that the district chief executive should be elected on the ticket of political parties. No, that's not a good idea. A candidate for district chief executive should be elected on his own merit and should not be sponsored by any political party. And why not, Grandpa? For the same reasons why members of parliament should not be elected on the ticket of political parties. Otherwise, the district chief executive will be in office only to advance the interests of his or her party. The district chief executive must be directly accountable to the electorate, not to political parties or to the president. But Grandpa, would the election of district chief executives be sufficient to solve the problem? Yes, to a large extent. Elected district chief executives will feel obligated to the people. At least they will be patently aware that unless they perform, they will be kicked out of office. That should propel them into action. Yeah, Grandpa. But who will call a non-performing district chief executive to order? The people will have to wait till the next election before they can kick him out of office. That's an excellent question, my son. And this is where I mentioned the next improvement to the district assembly structure. There should be a supervisory authority over every district chief executive to monitor performance. A supervisory authority? Like what the state council will be over the president? Exactly, my son. Let's call the supervising authorities metropolitan, municipal, or district councils, as the case may be. And what will be the function of those councils? And how would they relate to the chief executives of the districts? It will be very similar to what has been spelled out for the state council and the president of the republic. The district councils will ensure that their respective executive committees prepare the development plans for the districts in accordance with the national development planning system. I see. That should put some pressure on the executive committees to do their work. You are right. The councils will also ensure that the development plans approved by the NDPC are executed according to budget standards and schedules. That's another good point, Grandpa. I like that. We should check the shoddy execution of contracts. The councils will also review the performance of the district chief executive and his executive committee every 6 months and provide suggestions for improvement. Such suggestions should be obligatory and to be followed by the district chief executive. So, Grandpa, will the district councils have the power to remove the district chief executive from office? Not directly, except through a vote of no confidence brought before the General Assembly of the district authority. So, Grandpa, what happens if a vote of no confidence is passed in the chief executive of the metropolitan, municipal, or district assembly in the course of his term? Their district council will call for a fresh election to be taken in its area of authority to elect a new chief executive. And would the new chief executive be serving the remaining term of his or her predecessor? No, my son. The new district chief executive will serve a new term until he or she is likewise replaced. Essentially, the relationship between the district chief executive and the district council will be similar to the relationship between the president and the state council. And who should qualify to be on the district councils? The metropolitan councils can be constituted from the following categories of persons: a representative of the chiefs in the metropolis, nominated by the regional house of chiefs, a former metropolitan chief executive, a former metropolitan chief farmer or chief fisherman, an educationist, representative of the metropolitan road transport unions, a representative of women leaders, and a representative of civil society organizations. Interesting, Grandpa. And what about the municipal councils? They can have the following: a representative of the chiefs in the municipality, a former municipal chief executive, a former municipal chief farmer or chief fisherman, a female educationist, and a representative of the municipal road transport unions. Okay, and the district councils? They can also have the following: a representative of the district house of chiefs, a former district chief executive, a former district chief farmer or chief fisherman, a female educationist, and a representative of the district road transport unions. I see, Grandpa. Let me add that membership to this council should be by election, Nominations for these positions should be received and vetted by committees of the various assemblies. Those who go through the vetting should be voted on by the assembly members meeting in a general assembly. That is well thought through, Grandpa. And how long should the district council be in office for? 9 years, just like the state council. Okay, Grandpa. Are there any other improvements that can be made to the district assembly system to make it more effective? I can think of 2 more improvements, my son. Under the current arrangement, the district chief executive is required to work with an executive committee. I think we should strengthen the executive committees of the assemblies. And how should we do that, Grandpa? The executive committee of the district should be made up of the chief executive and the technical people working in the authority. The assembly members should not serve on the executive committee. This is similar to not allowing MPs to be ministers of state, Grandpa. Exactly. For a complete separation of powers, the district chief executive should not be a member of the general assembly of the district authority. You've just introduced another issue, Grandpa. Yes, you see, the district chief executive should be the executive head of the district authority, but he should not be a member of the general assembly of elected members. The general assembly should be made up of the presiding member and the elected assembly members. That will make for a complete separation of powers. Okay, Grandpa, so back to the executive committee. Which technocrats should serve on the executive committees of the district authority? But the Metropolitan Authority, the following can be considered: the Metropolitan Chief Executive, the Metropolitan Finance Officer, the Metropolitan Planning Officer, the Metropolitan Director of Health Services, the Metropolitan Agricultural Officer, the Metropolitan Engineer, the Metropolitan Fire Commander, the Metropolitan Environmental Officer, the Metropolitan Social Welfare Officer, the Metropolitan Director of Education, and the Metropolitan Disaster Management Officer. That makes 11 members for the Metropolitan Executive Committee. What about the Municipal and District Executive Committees, Grandpa? The Municipal Executive Committees can have 9 members as follows: the Municipal Chief Executive, the Municipal Finance Officer, the Municipal Planning Officer, the Municipal Director of Health Services, the Municipal Agricultural Officer, the Municipal Engineer, the Municipal Director of Education, the Municipal Environmental Officer, and the Municipal Social Welfare Officer. The District Executive Committees can have 7 members as follows: the District Chief Executive, the District Finance Officer, the District Planning Officer, the District Director of Health Services, the District Agricultural Officer, the District Engineer, and the District Director of Education. That seems good enough. I guess these officers are well placed to push the development agenda of the districts. Not only that, it will spread the center of power and check corruption, my son. And what is your other improvement? You said you had 2. Yes, that has to do with the functions of the elected members sitting in the General Assembly. Wait, Grandpa, your question just struck me. You said that the district chief executive should not be a member of the General Assembly of the District Authority. So what overall structure are you envisaging for the District Authority? I was keeping that for the last, but let me answer you in this way. I think the Metropolitan, Municipal and District Authority should have a 3-tier structure as follows: a General Assembly made up of all elected representatives from the various electoral areas, the Metropolitan, Municipal or District Council, and the Metropolitan, Municipal or District Executive Committee made up of the elected chief executive and the specified technical minds working in the district authority. Okay, that's clear now. So, we have discussed the various councils, the chief executives and the executive committees. Now you can continue with the functions of the General Assembly. Okay, I think the functions of members sitting in the General Assembly should be sharpened to make them more specific. And what specific functions do you envisage, Grandpa? I think the assembly members meeting in the General Assembly should perform the following specific functions. pass bylaws to regulate life in their respective areas of jurisdiction, receive and consider for approval the development plans for the metropolis, municipality or district, and approve budgets submitted by the executive committee. Elect the members of the metropolitan, municipal or district councils. Consider and vote on a motion of no confidence in the metropolitan, municipal or district chief executive brought before it by the metropolitan, municipal or district council, as the case may be. Elect eligible persons to represent their constituents in parliament and participate in the election of members of the state council. Interesting, Grandpa, but why do you want the functions of the assembly members to change? I am not changing anything, my son. Assembly members have various functions in their communities. That shouldn't change. I'm only calling for a sharpening of the functions they perform when they meet in a general assembly. Grandpa, you've made some serious points on the district assemblies. You want the chief executives of the district to be elected, but not on political party tickets. You also want the executive committees to be made up of the chief executive and the technical persons who work in the district authority. Then you want councils to be established to have supervisory authority over the executive committees. I hope I got that right. Yes, you did, my son. I also said that the executive committees should be separate from the general assemblies. You see, all this is intended to improve the performance of the district assemblies and make them more responsive to the needs of the people. Ah, yes, I almost forgot. You also want the assemblies to be given 40% of national revenues to improve their financial capacity. Right, Grandpa? Yes, you are right. I said also that the district assemblies should be the starting point for a career in parliament. Yes, I remember that, Grandpa. And you even want the assembly members to serve 2 consecutive terms before they qualify for election to parliament. Exactly. There should be no hit and run assembly members. Yeah, Grandpa, I remember that time very much. But let me ask you, what will all these changes you are proposing achieve? What will they achieve? A lot. Making the assemblies the starting point for a career in parliament will improve the human resource capacity of the district assemblies and lead to better decision making. Then, the various district councils will check corruption and moderate the power of the chief executives. And Grandpa, I think the infusion of 40% of national revenues into the district assemblies will boost local development, right? Exactly, my son. And don't forget that the assemblies will be pushed to catalyze the development of private enterprise to generate more revenue. And Grandpa, if all this happens, it will reverse the exodus of the youth from the districts to the cities. What do you say? Yes, very much so. Those in the cities will leave the harsh life and go back to their districts where they are more likely to find work. Interesting stuff, Grandpa. Interesting. How I wish we can implement all these changes. We should, my son. It will be in the interest of the people in the districts who are in the majority. You see, the metropolitan, municipal and district authorities hold the key to the development of this nation. The more attention we pay to them, the better and faster this nation will develop. I agree completely, Grandpa. I sincerely do. Well, that's enough for today, my son. I think we should continue tomorrow. This marks the end of In the Wings. Stay tuned for part 7, which is titled Latent Partners. Thanks for listening.